Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mum?
Yes, darling?
We've done two podcasts in 2 days.
I know.
But I'm feeling good about this one.
I know, because you've done nothing for this one.
Oh, yeah, that
must be. You always feel good, darling, when you do nothing.
We have a brilliant actor who actually I just saw in a Pinter play at the Pinter Harold Pinter Theatre and in the West End, and he was fantastic, kind of show-stopping. He is an art collector.
Yeah.
I love that, like, that's become a thing that everyone talks about with him. So I'm intrigued.
Has he got any of the same ones that you've got?
He's got some Emmons.
Yeah.
That was the first thing he bought, I think, with his History Boys check. And he has been in some really groundbreaking and important pieces of theatre and film and TV, such as HBO's Looking and The Pass. And
was Looking with Jonathan Groff?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really excited to have him. He's called Russell Tovey. And everyone kind of knows him because he's been on our screens for years and years and years, even though he looks about kind of
he's quite outspoken 10. Too.
Is he?
Yeah. He is about gay issues, I think.
He's got a French bulldog that's coming tonight called cool.
Rocky.
That I think is nearly as famous as him, I swear. You look on his Instagram and it's just like he's there. I mean, Frenchies are the best to photograph. So we've got Rocky coming too.
Probably save him a bit of Bavette, darling.
Oh, he'll love that. So, what have you cooked? Because I haven't been involved in this.
I am about to cook some delicious Bavette steak, which the wonderful Ginger Pig have given us again.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ginger Pig.
They are the best butchers ever. And it looks wonderful. And I'm serving it with watercress, broccoli with anchovy vinaigrette, and a celeriac and potato dauphinoise.
Oh, yum.
And afterwards is a chocolate and olive oil mousse with raspberries.
Yeah, I apologise because I suggested Mum put it in wine glasses and it's definitely made it look quite come dine with me.
Yeah, it does. It's not my style, that.
Russell Tovey coming up on Table Manners.
Excited.
Very excited. Russell Tovey, thank you for coming to Clapham.
You're very welcome. Clapham is the dream.
You brought
The Rock.
The Rock. Yeah, The Rock.
Oh,
Rocky, the French bulldog, yeah. Who is delicious.
He is.
And who is not Rocky Flintstone.
Oh, have you, do you know about Rocky Flintstone?
No,
the porno writer
from
my dad
wrote a porno.
Yes, my dad wrote a porno. Rocky Flintstone.
Oh. I think you could write a sexy thing or two.
Yeah. He has a lot of dirty thoughts.
Yeah. Does he get his lipstick out?
Sometimes.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing for
them. He doesn't do it on cue, though. I don't
he's
know
thinking
how to
about
do
it now. It's peaking.
Is it?
He's kind of...
That's just it. That's his breathing. It does move with the breath.
It's poking. It's like the nib. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. And thank you, Rocky, for coming and being a good boy and sniffing around.
Yeah.
Look at his little face and he's moving his ears.
Does he come everywhere with you?
Yeah. Everywhere.
Good.
Everywhere.
So when you're working, what happens? You take him with you?
Yeah, I crowbar him into most productions, sort of my rider now. I feel like I've got grand enough just to say, right, you want me, my dog's coming with me.
What about when you're filming? Do you take him abroad?
Yeah.
How do you fly? Does he fly first class?
He went...
Because you can't have them in economy, can you?
No, there's only certain airlines that are flying.
Which airline?
United.
Yeah.
So I first time I flew to New York, I flew with him and he was in the hold and we had to fly from Heathrow and you had to go via Amsterdam, Lufthansa and get to New York. And he was in the hold and he was in his crate and I had to be there 5 hours before my flight and he went off. Then I flew to Amsterdam and then they took him out at Amsterdam and they sent me a picture of him like having a wee in a field and I was like, great. And they said, right, he's on the plane, he's settled, he's in his crate, he's in the hold, cool. So we went to New York. Got to New York, go through customs, and I said, right, I'm picking up my dog. And they were like, oh, you have your dog. Okay, you got to go over there, and they'll bring the dog out to you. I was like, great.
Speaking of the dog, if you hear lots of pattering, it's Rocky's little toenails on Mum's wooden floor.
Yes. And so I stood by this area where they meant to have the dogs come out, and there was like these four guys sat there, and they weren't really doing much, and about half hour passed, and I went, hey, I'm waiting for my dog to come here. They was like, oh, no, you have to go over where the luggage is, you wait by the luggage. Okay, great. So I went over to luggage. Luggage comes out. I said, where's my dog? They said, oh, your dog will come out, then the luggage, and then you can go. So all the luggage come out, everybody's luggage come out, everybody left. I was there waiting. I said, where's my dog? So I walked over to this woman. I said, where is my dog? My dog's meant to come out here. And she was like, oh, okay. And this guy was like, I will go look for your dog myself. I went, great. So he went off. 25 minutes passed.
Oh, my God.
I stood there. I got to the woman. I said, hi. She's like, oh, hey. I said, where's my dog? Has he got my dog? And she's like, hang on. She went, oh, his walkie-talkie doesn't work. I'm like, okay. Walkie-talkie doesn't work. Fine. She got it to work. Walkie-talkie goes. She goes, okay, I have a gentleman here looking for his dog. He goes, was there a dog on this flight? And she's like, was there a dog? Was your dog on this flight? I'm like, yeah, the dog was on this flight. And she goes, dog was on this flight. I was like, yeah, I was like going like grayer and grayer. She goes, yeah, the dog was on this flight. She goes, dog was on this flight. He's like, was the dog in the hold or in the cabin? I'm like, he was in the hold. He's like, they can find your dog. Like, they can find your dog.
That's like your baby.
And I went, but she said it in such a way like I'd left my scarf on there or I'd left my phone on there. And I was like, okay, so what do I do now? I said, what the fuck do I do now? Are we allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, oh my God. Have you
oh my God.
To, yeah,
what right. the fuck do we do now? So I was like, Shanna. And she's like, okay, sir, calm down. What you need to go to Building 24. And I'm like, do you know where Building 24 is? She's like, I don't know where Building 24 is. Do you know where Building 24 is? I'm like, no. So I went, right. So I went, go and get in the car. So I got in the car. Got in his car with this guy who was picking me up for this job. And I went, right, we need to go to Building 24 to pick my dog up. And he's like, I said, do you know what it is? He said, I don't know where it is, but my mom works here, she'll know. So he got on the phone. He's like, mom. He's like, hey, baby. He's like, where's Building 24? He's like, Building 24? I don't know Building 24. I'm like, ah! So I called up the guy in London who was brokering it. And it was like 4 a.m. in the morning. And he picks up the phone. And I said, where the fuck is Building 24? I'm at the airport. They don't know where my dog is. Where's Building 24? He's like, I don't know where Building 24 is. He's called a number on the paper. Called the number. This is out of office hours.
Oh,
please call
God.
Back at 9 a.m. in the morning. He'd been in the crate 14 hours at this point. So find Building 24. Run into Building 24. I run up to the guy at the counter and I go, oh, hey, is my dog here? Yes. Is he alive? I don't know. You got to do the paperwork. I'm like, please tell me if he's alive. You got to do the paperwork, sir. Fill out all this paperwork.
Like
he goes, okay, there's $65. I go, give him my credit card. He goes, no, cash or check. Cash or check. Yeah.
Who
I said, you don't take credit card. No. So where's the ATM? You got to go back on the freeway, take off. And I was like, go back out there, came back, threw the money at him, went round the back. Grill went up, Rocky's wheeled out in a crate, shaking like a leaf.
Oh,
I go to open the door, there's two guys that stood there back, and they go, you won't be able to open that, it's got cable ties around it. I said, it's got cable ties. I said, have you got like scissors or a knife? And he's going, no, you're not got any scissors? I said, yeah, I've come off an international flight with fucking scissors in my bag. I said, where, give me something. So he came over like a bread knife, so I'm hacking away at these cable ties.
Got him out.
He's like a little snake in my arms, shaking. Took him outside. He took the biggest dump, the biggest wee. I got in the taxi and he sat in my lap and it was like he'd been through nothing. My heart was like, I wanted to kill myself.
That whole thing must have been about 2 or 3 hours.
It was an hour and 45 minutes.
And you'd already had the 5 hours extra in the beginning of the,
it was horrific. Horrific. I bet he was fine. He was like,
do you ever leave him at home?
Yeah.
With a trusted
I put BBC
person.
World Service on. And he just sleeps. Well, I was so determined that I crate trained him. I was so thorough with him that I wanted a dog that I could take with me on jobs that was going to be fun to be around and chill.
Yeah.
And he's chill. And it, like when it comes to the, like pulls me into the underground, he loves the subway, he loves buses, cabs, he loves meeting new people. He's fine. In about 5 minutes, he'll finish sniffing around and he'll fall asleep on the floor, won't you?
Does he sleep with you?
Yeah. He's under the duvet, head in the pillow.
How does that work with a relationship?
They just have to deal with it. It just is what it is. Right. I mean, when it gets, when you get down to like sexy time, then the dogs are out of the room. I can't have a dog in there because they're very judgmental. I feel like he's watching me and judging me.
Probably thinks you're being attacked.
Well, it's not that aggressive, my sex life.
No. But I'm
very sensual.
Mum, that's making real assumptions.
No, I'm not. I think that, you know, they don't understand kind of.
Well, he sometimes joins, like, if he's
joins
in the room, not allowed to join, but he wants to join him. He would jump in and have a little look and be like, what's going on there? What's that? I've not seen that before. And you're like, get away. But yeah, he's a dog that likes to be around you wherever you go, shower,
but
toilet.
The snoring with the nose.
I've got so used to it, yeah. It's difficult for
it's
other
people. It's like white noise
in.
For you.
Well, I bought a white noise machine. You mentioned that, which is amazing because it,
really?
It drowns out his snoring and you zone into the white noise.
Jesse!
So he doesn't become your white noise? No, you had to get white noise.
He does, but it does help the
That is so
machine.
Funny.
Yeah.
You'd need it, though, with a Frenchie sleeping with you. Yeah. Yep.
But it also, Frenchie aside, I've taken it where I haven't had him with me, where he's been staying up and stuff. And the white noise machine is actually brilliant.
I might get one, you know.
It's brilliant. They're like £30 like, on.
And does it
on
stop like traffic online. And everything?
I don't live in a really busy trafficy bit, but I'm sure it would. But you just zone into it.
Yeah.
And you can do like a 7-hour cycle, so you just.
Maybe Hannah, my sister, would share a room with you if she had the white noise
snore?
On. You're a bit of a snorer. Saying you're looking sharp.
Well, you assumed that I had really aggressive, loud, like,
you're
violent sex.
I once asked Alex if I still snored, and he said, no, I didn't. But Hannah says I breathe in a strange way as if I'm about to die.
Oh, like a breath rattle.
Like, I don't know why I do it, but apparently I don't snore. But
Hannah
but
sleeps like she's dead.
Hannah sleeps like a corpse. Hannah, who kissed Jonathan Groff?
You've both kissed the same person.
Yeah, hearts.
Was Jonathan a really good kisser?
Yeah, sensational.
I can imagine.
Kisser.
That's what Hannah said too.
He's very sensitive.
Is he? Yeah. Also, you both had to do sex scenes with him.
Yeah, I haven't seen Hannah's sex scenes. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did like sex.
Yeah, so did Hannah.
Really?
Is it awkward doing sex scenes?
Is
it more awkward doing gay sex scenes? Then, straight sex scenes.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, because Russell's gay.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but what do you mean?
Would
it
be
more awkward?
Doing with a woman?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, is it easier?
Whoever you're with, you have a responsibility for them. I feel a responsibility when I'm with anyone. With a girl, I want them to feel safe. I want them
love
to
love that Rocky's like soundtracking
making
this
sex noises.
Yeah, he's kind of perked up at the thought of it.
I want them to feel safe. I don't want them to feel like uncomfortable at any point because it's an uncomfortable thing to do.
This
I think
must be so
I
awkward.
Think as an actress it's harder because they probably want you topless, whereas a man you're topless and it's not as dramatic, you know.
Do you have to wear those little things on your
You have a little little bag of gold like the Sheriff of Nottingham has and you just tie it all in. Mine's a really big bag of gold.
But, obviously.
No, you just
I know it was a big bag of gold. I saw you in your pants last week.
Did you? Where?
Yeah, at the Pinter Play.
Did you come to the Pinter?
Yeah, I did. I came to see Hayley Squires and I didn't realise you were in it. Oh. And then it was just like brilliant.
Oh, that's cool.
I have to say,
which Pinter Play was
the show
it?
In that,
thank
that
you.
In what Pinter Play?
It was you were in the
collection. I had a cameo in The Lover, but yeah.
The Lover, you were very good as the milkman.
Thank you very much.
But also, I hear that you started calling David Suchet the Soosh.
That's what he's been known for years.
What did you call him?
Le Soosh. Soosh.
No, you guys changed it to like either Soosh or the Soosh.
I think it's the Soosh.
And was he Le Soosh before?
Yeah, but he's,
amazing.
He loves it. He's like so.
He was brilliant.
I'm obsessed with him.
Well, I thought the rapport between you and Le Soosh was really brilliant. Like but you were just you were so in control.
Mm.
But you were basically naked for a bit. You kind of in your pants, weren't you? Your bod looked really good.
Oh, thanks.
I'm sorry, you're having cream tonight.
That's all right, cream with our steak.
Yeah. Is that quite good?
Great, it's not weird.
No, the bod.
It's my double cream and steak. I love it. That's brilliant.
Well, it's a gratin.
Oh, lovely.
So, but I just, have you had to get into shape for that?
I go to the gym all the time.
Right.
I go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week and I always have, and I'm sorry. It's my thing. It's like that.
Do you like
I love it. I have to do it.
So you feel good if you've exercised?
Yeah, but it's like a thing. Well, I just, every time I go to another country, another like town, city, I have to find where the gym is. I find the local gallery, and I'm sorted. That's my thing. But it's because it's I need it. If I hadn't been the gym for a week, couple of weeks, I start to feel a bit weird.
Do you do kind of a lot of HIIT, or are you doing lots of body work? Like,
I've got a trainer. I've had a trainer for years, and it's working different muscle groups each time you go and see him. But I really got thrown into it. Tell you one of the reasons. I wanted to change my casting as an actor because when I was younger, wow. I was playing a lot of lovable dickheads. I was always the kind of embarrassing crush, the lovable dickhead, which I loved them roles. I thrived in them. Mm. But I wanted to play the leading man. I wanted to be the one that was desired and not in an embarrassing way. And I was like, well, how do I do this? What do people do? They change their bodies. And they worked out. And then I was with an ex and I went to Mykonos on holiday.
And oh,
as you do,
and he had a rude awakening.
It was a horrible experience. He's a very good looking man in a very good body, and I was out. And then at the time, I'm like naturally pale. My body at the time was fine, and I felt like I was having to apologize for being with him. So it was a massive insecurity.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but
you're gorgeous.
But it was what we all do. Whatever you look like, whatever it's insecurities were there. And I remember having these feelings. I was like, shit, I don't want to feel like this. And he had the best holiday ever because everyone was all over him. I had the worst holiday ever because I just felt like shit. And I felt like, fuck, I'm punching above my weight. I can't do this. I know, but people, it's all in your head.
That's very superficial.
It is superficial, but the gay world is superficial.
Yeah, I know.
And when you're going to Mykonos, it's all about surface.
Yeah.
Have you been back to Mykonos?
Well, I went back again with him, and again had the same sort of experience, but a bit better because I'd improved. But I remember I met this trainer.
Don't say improved.
Don't go change.
So I met this trainer, this is all stuff I've never spoke about. Actually, you're very lucky. So I met this trainer, and I started training with him. And I remember the first day I trained with him, I was stood in the changing room and I was changing, and I caught eyes with this guy and he looked away, and I suddenly felt really guilty that he had to be in the same room as me while I changed. And he had to, that was how fucked I'd got, my insecurity.
Like body dysmorphia.
Total. And I was like, I am never, ever going to feel like this again. So I was determined. So that's, and I've overcome all that now. So if I don't go to the gym and I get like chubby or whatever, I'll be fine. But that, I think I was a scrawny little kid.
Were you?
Yeah, I was a little like lanky little thing, and I was scrawny, and then I got beaten up on a train when I was 18 and stabbed in the head, and that psychologically fucked me up. Yeah. So that state.
Was it an attack or a homophobic attack?
No, I don't think I was wearing a cardigan, maybe. I don't think so. I think it was just two like smackheads that were just looking for a fight, and I got on a train.
Oh my God.
And they just followed me up
looked
the cab.
At you and followed thought, me up the cab.
And we sat down, and I was drinking. I'd just come out of a burger chain restaurant, reputable, not that reputable, but anyway, and I had a drink.
You can say what it was.
McDonald's.
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
I was okay, I was thinking,
love it.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Diet
love,
Coke.
Yeah.
And I was sat there, and these two sat in front of me. I was like, oh, this is dodgy.
Oh,
and they went, what are you drinking? I said, oh, it's all gone now. He said, I didn't ask, it was all gone. I asked, what are you drinking? I said, Diet Coke. And he went, are you going to cut him or am I? He went, I'll cut him. Passed a knife over. And I remember suddenly I was like, oh my God, like out of body experience. I like went, rolled backwards. I was like, this is fucking horrific. So I went, oh look, it's my auntie out there. I just saw this group of people that were my parents' age. And I stood up and I pointed down there, and then they just started laying into me. And all I could think was, don't fall on the floor because they're going to jump on your head. So I went to these guys next to me. I went, will you help me out? It's two against one here. And they went, leave him alone. Fuck off, mate. All right. They backed off. So I was just getting decked. And I was going, what do you want? So I was going, do you want my phone? Do you want money? I was taking my watch off. I was going, what do you want?
Vile.
They just wanted to be violent. So then this woman, my parents' age, pulled a chain and the train stopped. And as it stopped, he slashed my head, which is a scar there, and he went, don't fucking give it. And then they forced the doors open and disappeared. And I went and sat with this woman, and I was like, there was blood everywhere, and I did always slash my throat, didn't know what happened. And she had sugar sachets, give me sugar sachets. So she went, do you want to call your mum? I said, yeah. So I called my mum, and I went, mum, I've been beaten up on the train, I got stabbed. She's like, where are you? I went, like, I don't know. But the ambulance came on, took me to the hospital. My parents, I was going to meet my parents to go home in Brentwood in Essex, and they'd been at a fancy dress party. My mum was a gypsy, my dad was a cowboy. So when they come and met me at the hospital, they were still in full fancy dress costume, coming like something out of Gavin and Stacey, coming, oh, where is he? Like that. And I didn't press charges, I didn't do anything because I was so.
Why?
Because I thought, what's going to happen? What are they going to get?
Nothing.
Nothing. And they'll see me again and they'll fucking kill me. That's what I thought. So that screwed me up. So I had this whole, I had a massive insecurity of being in crowds of lads, being in pubs. And I ended up feeling like a victim. So you end up, so when something like that happens, and I've spoken to other people it's happened to, you end up walking around and you end up bringing that attention on yourself. And I would walk around and I'd see lads and I'd end up looking down and being a bit shuffling.
Were you bullied at school?
No. But it just, it's all in your head. It's all stuff you have. I don't know what it is. And I don't know if that's being gay and growing up and not wanting to be or feeling like...
Were you out by then?
I was at college. So I came out to myself and my friends when I was probably about 15, 16, 17. I came out to my parents when I was 18. So it was around, mm-hmm. it was around 16, 17. I was 17, yeah. Nine, no, where was I? 19. I was 19. Yes, yeah, so I was out, yeah. But I don't think it was a gay thing.
No, right.
Do you know what's a strange thing? And I've recently been seeing a therapist because of a recent breakup and discovering stuff about myself. And as my generation, and probably a few generations below me, and definitely above me, is that when you're gay and you realise as like 4 or 5 that you're thinking about boys and willies and all that sort of stuff, you automatically know in your head that it's wrong. And it's shameful. And
what do you mean?
I remember being a kid and thinking about it, but knowing instinctively that it wasn't right. I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't be open about it. And knowing at 4 or 5, already you have that shame that you are something that you can't be and trying to hide it as much as possible.
I'm sure that's true.
And I'm going through this. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
But your parents didn't mind.
No, they're amazing.
They probably knew anyway.
But it's the world you're in because it isn't built. Sure. It wasn't built at that time for me to feel safe enough to go, Mum, Dad, I like boys.
Do you want to open the back door? Does he want to go out for a wee?
Good boy.
I mean, I think it is very difficult.
But isn't that
And you live sad? In London, which
is... Yeah, well, I lived in Essex then, but isn't that sad that as a 4 or 5-year-old, you know, you have a feeling of shame. You know you have these feelings, but you automatically know that they're not... You can't be open about it. So you have this secrecy, which I hope doesn't...
Have you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got an older brother. When I came out, he just thought I was trying to be fashionable. I mean, I don't think you're gay. I think you're trying to be fashionable. I was like, well, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's very hard.
It's horrible.
And it is. I mean, as a parent, I think I just want to protect that person.
Of course.
And life is much more tricky out there if you're gay. It's not as easy.
Of course.
And... it's fine if you live in London
because
it's cosmopolitan, everyone understands. Not quite the same. Can you imagine if you live in Scunthorpe and you work in the docks or something? I don't even know if Scunthorpe's in the docks, but if you're in that, it must be so hard.
But being an actor, surely it felt more...
Oh, that's why,
Was that part of the reason you kind of were attracted to acting? That kind of, that it felt accepting and... Obviously, you're a very talented actor too.
I've always felt very kind of safe with being gay because I've been around it since I was like 11. I remember I was 11, I was in a kids' TV show, and I got the biggest crush on this actor in the show who was like 19, 20 at the time. Really big crush. And there was an actress on the show called Susie Blake who I owe a lot to because she stopped filming because I was in a really bad way and she took me for a walk on this beach and she said to me, you might be gay or you might not be gay. If you are gay, great. If you're not gay, great. And I remember being 11 going like, what does that mean? Oh, okay, so it's an option. It's something that can be, that's all right. All right. And you're in this world and in this world, she's like, lots of people are like that. Oh, wow. And I remember being like, oh, great. Okay, cool. And I went back to filming. I was like, all right. And I got a crush on this guy, but, you know.
That's okay.
That's fine. All right. Okay. And carried on. And I owe her loads for that. And experiences like that. And my mum was great. I had this experience with this guy when I was 13. We was both 13 and I fell in love with my best friend, inverted commas.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. And I was having a hard time. My mum was like, what is wrong with you? And I just said, oh, I've sort of been messing around with this guy, my mate, my best mate. And I don't know what it is. And she's like, well, you know, if you're gay, you're gay. If you're not, you're not. And then at 13, I was like, all right. And then I didn't really do anything until I was like 18 when I come out. And then that time she's like, oh, I always thought about that time you told me that. And I didn't really know you'd had girlfriends, you hadn't had girlfriends. And I didn't know if that was something that, you know, you was or not.
So you brought up in Essex.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Romford originally.
Romford.
Yeah, but Billericay we moved to when I was at 14, 15.
And what do your parents, are your parents actors?
No, my parents run a bus coach company in Essex. It's a shuttle service to Gatwick, Southend, Heathrow, Stansted Airport.
Exciting. So you didn't want to be a bus driver?
No, I did not. No, and they asked me to do like my bus test so that they could call me at 4 a.m. if something broke down on the M25. I was like, nope. But my brother now manages it and does an amazing job. And he brought me all of the, they had like files of paper everywhere and he just got everything.
So you started going to like young stage school. Was it like?
Yeah, when I was 10, I went to drama clubs when I was 10. I just knew what
so
to do.
So people saw the potential.
Well, you know, a TV show by 11.
Really? Yeah, I did a kids' TV show when I was 11. Yeah, but I did. My first thing was I was playing a traveller on The Bill. I had to throw a ball at a police officer and say, like, leave us alone or something like that.
Probably the last time you came to Clapham or Mitcham.
It was Mitcham.
Because it's always down
it's only down there, yeah.
Down
it's gone
road.
Now, isn't it? But and then I started auditioning and get on agent and everything, and that was my sort of route in. And
did you finish your education?
I went to secondary school. I went to do a BTEC Performing Arts at college, and they didn't invite me back for the second year.
Why?
Bloody.
Well, I mean, I was cheeky, but but there was a time I was in the chorus of Rent, the musical.
Oh, I saw that.
It's great.
At the college.
I saw it at the
You might not
have
seen our production.
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah, it wasn't that production. But, and I got a commercial from McDonald's, and then I got a short film that was going in the Millennium Dome, and I was filming these things, and I said, right, I can't be in the chorus of Rent for this one song in this like 2-hour show because I got these jobs.
Was it Will You Light My Candle?
No, it was
like
Seasons of Love.
Okay.
It was that one. Right. So they just had like all 3 years singing Seasons of Love. And they said, okay, we'll just call up your agent, say thanks very much, but you've got your shows, call up this show at college you've got to do. And I was like, I'm not gonna do that. And they went, okay, fine. Well, if you take this job and if you leave now, you'll probably never work again.
But you were doing a BTEC in drama, so they were being
what
really
do you
stupid.
Mean?
And
how
she
stupid.
Said that to me, and I was like, okay. And I knew that time, I was like, well, I'm going. So I left, and then they didn't invite me back.
Did you go to drama school?
No.
I kept on working,
and then when I was going to go to drama school, I started doing plays. So when I was 19, I did the recruiting officer at Chichester, and I met Patrick Marber, who wrote Closer and Dealer's Choice.
Oh, wow.
And I did his play, and I did that through an actress called Deborah Gillette, who I owe a lot to as well. She took me under her wing, and that was her partner. They're still together. And I did his play Howard Katz at the National Theatre when I was 19. Signed with my now agent, I'm still with, who I've been with, and she became a full agent. She was an agent assistant, so we've sort of grown together. And then left there, and then a year later went back when Nick Heitner took over the National, and I did Henry V, His Girl Friday, then we did Dark Materials, the show, then we did The History Boys. So that would have been my time of going to drama school.
Right.
But I learnt my trade through doing theatre, and it's a theatre training you get at drama school anyway.
So you're only 12 now?
Yeah, I'm
13. That's what you look.
Just turned 13, thank you. No, I'm 36.
You're joking.
That'll be 37.
You look about 20.
Were you in the first?
I do not.
How old does he look?
The sound in the background is Mum frying. Is it buffet? I thought we were doing anglais.
It's anglais, sorry, not buffet.
What's the difference between anglais and buffet, Jessie?
They're a different cut, and I believe anglais is slightly chewier.
Yeah.
Have I made that? It's more flavourful.
Oh, great. Where'd you get your meat from?
Ginger pig.
Yeah, ginger pig sort us out for the podcast, actually. So
no.
We've got a great relationship.
Like sponsor it.
Not sponsor it, but they just like they give us free meat.
So every meal is meat.
No.
Oh. Do you like cooking? Oh right.
I don't mind.
You've been forced into this role.
It's fun though, but my mum's never been that woman that was like loved being in the kitchen. She's always kind of resented it. So I've said it before, but I kind of only can imagine what it would be like if she cooked with love. It would be actually phenomenal. Because she's miserable and she's
My mum was never a cook, and we used to get a dish, and if we all responded to it, we'd get that dish every night for like 6 weeks, and stuff would turn up on the table, and I'd be like, what's this, mum? And she'd be like, just eat it, don't push it around, and it'd be like fuel. So for me, for many years, I had to retrain myself that I'd be taken to all these fancy restaurants as an actor, like opening nights and stuff, and I'd literally eat the food within about a minute and a half, and they're like, savour it, Russell, what is
amazing.
That? And I'm like, it's fuel, it's just fuel, you just got to force it down,
so
eat
funny.
It. So it's like retraining myself.
Oh, Rocky's come back, he smelt the steak.
Oh okay.
Yeah, licking his
lips.
Oh,
okay, all right, oh yeah.
Do you like your meat quite rare?
Medium.
Medium.
Yes, please.
So, okay,
yes.
So you said your mum would cook the same food for like 6 weeks in a row. Is that when you'd say
sandwich.
It was good?
Well, if we responded to something as a family, then she'd be like, oh, great, I'm onto a winner. I'm going to keep cooking
this. So what were some of the winners?
Well, it's this lamb and potato thing which appeared like in rotation constantly, and I'd be like, "It's the lamb," and think, "Just eat it." It would literally be like, oh, just you. It was just fuel. And the sandwiches of the day. If I said I liked cheese sandwich with pickle, I would have cheese and pickle sandwiches every day for like a year.
So okay, so let it rest.
Let it breathe.
Was she a nervy cook then?
No, she just it isn't her default setting. She's a mum, and she wanted to.
Feed up her boys, family, yeah, yeah.
Like, and look after her husband and her two boys, yes.
Yeah. I get that.
But she didn't, it wasn't joyful. It was, she worked really hard. They were setting up a business when we were kids, this bus company, Gatwick Flyer, Avon Coaches in Essex, still running if you want, they've got a Facebook page. and, you know, she that was her priority.
Darling.
Yeah, top it up, thank you.
That was have a good show tomorrow, Russell.
Yeah,
you've got a show tomorrow.
Got matinee.
I'll take
and I'm
that.
Doing a I'm doing a talk in the morning about collecting art.
Oh, yeah. Now, okay, off food for a bit.
Yeah.
How did you get into art?
I got into art because I'm naturally a collector. All my life, I've been someone that collects things.
Like
when I was a kid, I was into rocks and minerals. For my 8th birthday, my parents took me to the Rock and Mineral Annual Convention.
Oh,
and
wow.
I sat there with these
50-year-old...
It was in Collier Row in Essex, in this like community centre. And my parents sat there with me on my 8th birthday, and there was people there talking about geodes and agate and like all these gems and everything. And they must have thought, what the hell is going on? And I used to grow crystals with alum. I was obsessed with all that. So that was like something I did. Then I collected coins. Mm. Then my nan gave me a load of stamps. So for a while I collected stamps. And I collected phone cards. Like
phone cards?
Do you not remember phone cards? How old are you?
I mean, I'm 34 next
right.
week.
Do you not remember you had phone cards? You used to buy a phone card
and
from
they'd
BT.
Have different prints.
They'd be green.
Stuff.
I'd have different pictures on.
I mean,
you're not a collector,
yeah.
Jessie.
Oh, I do collect art.
No, you're a hoarder, darling.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, but I'm a hoarder. I find
are
it
you?
So. When I moved house before I moved where I am now, I sat with my mum and I was like, "Mum, I hate myself. Why am I this person?" She's like, "I don't know, darling. You've not got it from me." And I just got stuff upon stuff upon stuff, and I can't get rid of it.
That's me.
I can't get rid of it.
But I read that the first thing you bought was a Tracy Emin.
The first piece of like. Art I bought was an edition by Tracy Emin. My parents bought me for my 21st because right. I met her and I saw the work and I didn't understand that you could actually buy art. And I was obsessed when I was at college with the YBAs, obsessed, some right. young British artists.
Yeah.
So like Damien Hirst and Saatchi's like exhibitions of the Sensation Exhibition of all their work
Jessie,
was just
wants me to play
groundbreaking.
Okay, Rocky,
you might have to put him outside.
Rocky, we're having a really important conversation about art, so if you'd Rocky. Like to join, then
no, he
you know,
thinks
otherwise,
that I, he clearly it. Thinks I'm the most game.
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 Go outside and play
with it.
Go on. Sorry.
Poor Rocky.
He's right. Rocky's fine. He's about to get Bavette or Anglais.
Anglais.
Yeah.
Anglais, not Bavette. Sorry.
So that was like, loving the YBAs, discovering that as a youngster. That was incredibly influential.
What
to
made
me.
You so excited about that?
Because it's like stuff I'd never seen, and it was so sensationalist, and it was so British. And at that time, Britain was the art forefront. We were creating the most amazing work that was out there, and it just felt like it went hand in hand with what I was doing creatively. I just found it so exciting, and I wanted to be a part of it. So my parents bought me an edition by her, by Tracy, when I was 21, and then I, with my money from the History Boys film, I went and bought an original drawing, and that was what I put my money into. And I got like, and I was friends with her at the time. Still friends with her now, but and I messaged her, I said, "I want to get this drawing." She went, "Okay, well, I can try and get them to give you a little bit of a friend's discount. Just give a little bit of a discount." I said, "Great." And then the invoice comes through and there was, at the time, 17.5% tax VAT goes on top, which you forget about. And I remember being like, "What?" I didn't know I have to pay VAT.
You couldn't do it in cash.
No, with that, and they're not going to, yeah, no.
But did you have somebody that kind of held your hand at the beginning?
I had friends. So I met a guy when I was probably about 8 years ago who I did the podcast with this morning. We just started this podcast where we talk about art. It's called Rob Diamond. He runs a gallery. Rival podcast.
No.
a friend. I thought that was an intake of breath you were doing. And like,
no.
What's the podcast
done one this morning?
Well, it's called Talk Art. And we're Rob and Russ. And I met him at Tracy Emin had a retrospective at the Edinburgh National Gallery. like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and I sat down with him and I had my Tracy Emin drawing and he had Tracy Emin drawings and we started geeking off about the titles for our drawings. And I was like, I never thought I'd ever meet anyone my age who was the same. He was the same, and then we became really good friends. And at the time, he was a musician in a band called Tempo Shark, but he doesn't do that now. And then he now is the director of a gallery called Carl Friedman Gallery. And we sort of learnt loads together, and I suddenly like meeting, you know, the more you're in the art world, the more you meet people, and the more you have an understanding, the more you get influenced by, and the more people, the more collections you see, and the more places you go, and the shows you see, the more your experience broadens and your taste changes. Instagram is an incredible tool for the art world that is, they've completely latched onto, because the way of hashtagging an artist or a work and getting it out there is huge, and it, your experience of that is completely Jessica. Different now.
Rocky,
my new best friend.
Rocky, no.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you a good cook?
No.
Do you appreciate good food now?
Yes.
Okay.
So what, the greatest pleasure of growing up, but I feel like I've grown up in the last 2 or 3 years more than I ever have in my whole life. I've progressed is that I actually appreciate a good restaurant, good food. That is something that I've discovered very late in life. And I blame my mum, but it's like...
Who do you thank for... Who's been this person that's made... Has there been a person or a particular restaurant that in the last two... You said the last 2 years.
I think it's just appreciation that isn't it lovely to spend money on good food?
Oh my God, I'm with you.
And going out to a good restaurant and having a really nice meal. That I was always someone that was like, go down the pub, it's shit food, you pay for it, you tip. You go back next week, it's shit food, you pay for it and you tip, you just keep going back.
Mm.
And it's just like, because it's always been fuel. It's just like, this is what you do. And now in the last 2 years, especially in the last year, I'm like, no, I want to go somewhere and have an experience. I think being single, going on dates and dating in a pool of people who are also like-minded and want experience that, foodies, is brilliant.
Have you been single for a while?
6 months I've been single.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but you're eating well.
Incredibly well. Like the best places. The best places. It's become a bit of a thing. Like, and I've got a really good friend now who is a complete foodie and knows, like, follows all the reviews, knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where do I go? And she's like, oh, you've got to go here, you've got to go there. She's amazing. And she, wherever she's recommended, has been brilliant.
So where are some of your favourite new finds?
So we live in East. There's a restaurant called Brat, which is above the Smoking
Goat. I can't
get
in. It's driving me crazy.
Just turn up at 6 o'clock.
Really?
Yes.
That's when you, I like to eat anyway.
Yeah, you sit at the bar. You won't get a table, you can sit at the bar.
Have you had the turbot there?
Yes.
Okay, fine. They just got a Michelin.
Did they? Yeah. When?
Like the last week.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, yeah. I've been there 3 times. Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. Love that. Leroy, L-E-R-O-Y.
That used to be Ellery.
Yeah, but it is Ellery.
Or
still
did
exists.
L this and the, Leroy break up?
Yes.
So this is
of the same world.
Leroy just got a Michelin too.
Shut up.
You are like the Michelin, like,
so I've been there twice. What else do I like? So, but then I go to places where are dog friendly. So my places that I go to, if I find somewhere that's really nice and they accept dogs, it's amazing. So there's a restaurant called Bellinger's, which is in Islington Grimm. You turn up there with a dog, they give you like a mat so the dog can sit on the banquette with you. And he loves it. There's another one called Kipfrall, which is on Camden Passage, which is an Austrian restaurant. They do like schnitzel and stuff like that. You know where Camden Passage, you know where off Islington High Street, but opposite the Breakfast Club. next to the Elk in the Woods, opposite the Elk in the Woods.
Yes, yes, yes.
Opposite
like that
area. Is one called Kipferl, K-I-P-F-E-R-L. Okay. Delicious. You can sit in the front with your dog. Amazing breakfasts.
Really?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Okay, that's quite
So neat. I go there a lot with Rocky. So they're places that are like go-to. So once you have a dog and you take your dog everywhere, find a restaurant that's decent, it's the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Taste. Tell me what you think.
It's really good.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, Russell just basically fingered the anglais and he's happy. He's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Just help yourself, darling.
Thank you, darling.
Where's the dog gone?
He's in the garden.
Sniffing.
Poor
Bless
thing.
Him.
He was going to have some... How is it? The meat. Yeah.
I have him.
The Scrittan is really good. The celeriac is really good.
Thank you, darling.
That's it. Rocky's going to kill Alice, the producer. He's like, give me the steak. I mean, you've done so much travelling. Mm. Where is your favourite place? Where's your favourite country to eat?
Eat.
Yeah.
Greece.
Oh.
I love Greek food. Love.
She got married in Greece.
Oh, really?
I've got a house
there. Yeah.
Are your favourite place?
Is it Mykonos that you go to all
no,
the time?
No, I'm not going to go back there ever
Don't
again.
Go back there.
No, bullshit. I went to... I worked in Corfu for a while. I did a TV thing in Corfu. Did My Family and Other Animals. The original one with Imelda Staunton was... Well, not the original. It was like...
Before the Durrells.
Before the Durrells. Yeah, Imelda Staunton was Mrs. Durrell. I was Leslie Durrell. So I got really into their big beans there and...
Gigantes, yeah.
Beans
the
Gigantes. Love. Love Greek food a lot.
Mm.
Love, love, love.
Me too.
And I like Italian food. I love pasta.
Yeah, everyone does.
Love.
Okay, so what is your meal that you would be cooking...
If I had what for friends?
Okay, well,
or for
I mean, is it a different thing if it's a romantic one or is it like okay dinner party? If you've got friends around, do you do dinner parties?
Yeah, I do dinner parties. Do I cook? Probably not.
Do you ask everyone to bring a dish?
I've never done that. No, I normally just get a load of takeaway.
Oh,
just
okay.
Dish it all up.
I love that.
Or we'd get a pizza, but I'm for myself. I'm.
I can
make
Jesse,
like.
Give him a bit more here.
Rocky's losing his shit.
Rocky, yeah. What's this?
Rocky, darling.
What's this?
Oh my Rocky. God,
oh my Rocky, God. Six. Four. Good boy. Oh,
oh yes.
Boy.
Living the dream, Rox.
So, okay, you do takeaway, but what would you do if you were cooking?
For myself, I always make myself scrambled eggs every morning. Done.
Okay.
Standard on toast.
Have you got a certain way of doing it? Are you good
butter,
at them?
I cook with butter.
Yeah.
Salt. I can do you're, really good scrambled okay. eggs. I mean, I don't think they're like anyone listens to this to be like you're a dick.
No.
No.
Are yours quite wet? Because I like mine wet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not too wet, but they're mid wet.
Yeah.
There's a wetness to them.
They're not
like popcorn. You're not eating popcorn.
No.
But I would do. I'm good at like just. I just do basics: chicken and rice and veg. Sometimes
you sound like a footballer.
Do I?
Yeah. Have some more of these potatoes.
Oh my They're God, nice. I'm so glad that you're eating so well.
I know, but we're going to have dessert now.
What have we got?
Well, Jessie,
okay,
got...
I apologise, it's gone a bit
No. The food, the taste is great. It's chocolate mousse with olive oil.
But I've done them in wine glasses because Mum was like, what about ramekins? And I was like... No, and it does look a bit come down with me.
Love it.
And you're going to have to eat with a small spoon, which I hate.
How small?
Like a teaspoon.
Oh, okay.
Mum, I have to say...
Yeah.
I haven't had chocolate mousse for about 10 years.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's retro and brilliant.
Mm.
It's good.
You're making me feel a bit old, darling, a bit retro, because I'd never make chocolate mousse.
And I'm sorry, I'm enjoying the wine glass. Mm. I am.
This is next level.
It was sweet.
Do you feel like you can still walk around and be able to be somewhat anonymous, even though you have such
not.
A recognisable face?
My
and you
ears,
have
yeah.
been in everything. Like,
well, my...
And some really important things. I feel like we need to talk about looking, because...
Yeah. Your music was on.
Well, this is how we met, actually.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan Groff is a friend, and he came to see my show in San Francisco, which was like a kind of warm-up show. It was a tiny
it was
show.
Fucking amazing.
But San Francisco is like my place,
mm-hmm.
and I have a really amazing kind of gay following there,
yep.
and the Americans are so loud, which I love. That's
and
what
loyal.
I feed off, and loyal, and it was just... I think it was a good show, but anyway, it was a pleasure.
Great show. It was a
and
great show.
I met you after, and you were filming. Was it the second series of Looking?
Yeah.
It must have been because after that, Jonathan was very emphatic to get my song into a quite important scene. It was that prom. It was like
it was your, a prom. It was a gamers. We've been at a gamers convention, like selling our idea for this app, and then afterwards there's this prom where everyone's dressed in like gamers outfits and stuff, and we were in suits.
And which
we were dancing.
Song was it?
So You Love,
so you
me.
Love Me. But I will. I will never forget. And I'm sure you had a part to play in this, but that he was so passionate about getting the song into the show, and I appreciate that as somebody who. That was a big deal for me, and for it to be in such a respected show and at such a beautiful moment. Like, I've watched ER and wanted to be, you know, when you hear that song when someone's died, the guy with the glasses who had the bald head, do you remember, and who was married to Elizabeth?
Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
Dr. Green.
Do you remember when he died? And what song was it that he died to? It was bloody Tracy Chapman, The Promise, I remember.
Well, you look at, like, Grey's Anatomy, Snow Patrol.
Exactly.
The end of, the end of that
exactly.
one was, like, in, was like, that was incredible.
There's
that made
moments.
Everything, yeah.
And for me, that became, like, a really important kind of career moment, and also because I have such a big gay following and because Looking was so celebrated. But there was so much frustration. You did two series.
I think you didn't get it too soon. I think it would be more received, better, easier received.
It just
now.
Wasn't enough. Maybe, but just but people are discovering it now, which is wonderful. People
yeah,
are like finding
I think
like,
it
oh
was
God,
too early.
Show.
I think people.
I just
weren't
think there
ready.
Wasn't. There was such a weird. We had a weird beginning in that show because the gay blogosphere took us down. Basically,
really?
We come out and the gays had been there. Was there's not many gay shows, so they it was hotly anticipated and they wanted it to be their show, and it came out and the way that Andrew Haig works and the way it was like. Produced is that it's a subtle, sensitive, real, observational kitchen sink show that's about a group of friends. That's all it is. There's not. It's not like everyone wanted the catchphrase. Everyone wanted Jack from Will and Grace. Everyone wanted the gay blogosphere. So they sort of took it down and they said it was boring. They hashtagged it before hashtags were everyone.
It was
boring.
Such a good series.
And that spun around. But that was on the first episode. By the third episode, they changed their mind.
But
and then
already,
by the end, they were like, this is the show we want. But by that point, they had made this. They'd given it its kind of death knell. They'd already said that. And so people, I'd meet people and they'd be like, oh, I don't watch that show. I'd be like, why? It was boring, isn't it? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's like for me, subtle. Personally, it's the I feel it's the best thing I've ever done. It's the only thing I've ever done where I can watch, even though I'm in it, as an audience member, impartial. I see myself, but I'm a fan of it. And I was devastated. And then my agent was like, they want to sign you up for 5 years. And I was like, sign me up for 10 years. I'm absolutely in love with this. I love everybody on it. It's amazing. But it
and
just...
Just two series.
Two series and a movie. We finished with like a movie and it was...
So you can never come back now?
We
it
could,
might
but
be
I,
able
we could,
to.
But I don't know if the creatives would want to. It's heartbreaking when your heart and soul goes into it and people are like, no, you're not going to want to push and rush back to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you feel, because you're gay, that you're pushed into speaking out about gay issues a lot?
I think if you're in a minority and you become successful, you become
you have a responsibility,
by proxy an ambassador for that minority, which is something I never set out to do. I've never wanted to be the poster boy, but I have become someone that people are interested in when it comes to gay issues, and I have probably fucked up a few times with things I've said and not really thought about it, and now I realise that my voice is an important thing, so I have responsibility for that and it can affect things. So I have embraced that now more than I ever thought I would do. I never thought it would be something that I would have to consider being an actor just because I'm gay, that suddenly you have to do it. But it does go, it does become a thing, it is a thing, and I'm now very, very proud that I can be someone that is, I keep saying reference point, it's like my soundbite, but it is like I can be someone that people use as a reference point when it comes to being out, and I have been all my career and still able to have a career that's, you
does
know.
That affect your private life? Like blokes might kind of
well, you know,
avoid
it's,
you
yeah,
because
it's shit.
You're a
it's,
bit,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't ever something that I thought about, but I've experienced that exactly, and I never thought I would. And I go on dates now, and I sit down on a date, and gay guys know everything about me or know a lot about me or know something about me. They follow me on Instagram. They've seen something I've done.
Yeah.
So I sit down, so it's always unbalanced. So I'll sit down opposite these guys and they will know more about me than I do. So it's I'm never ever going to be able to go on a date with someone, you know, unless they've never watched TV in life or have no idea who I am and I've not met them that person yet, but they haven't already got a preconceived idea of who I am. And that again is something that I never was considered. Because for me, doing it for so long, and my mum was always like, you don't ever talk about it. If someone asks you about your work, talk about your work. You never boast. You never bring it up. It's just something you do. So that was instilled in me. So it's always felt like normal. And an extension of me is me, but I'm always feel very separate from my work. So I feel like when people then mix me up with my characters or my work or see me as that, then that's always been something that I've... Recently, I'm sort of struggling with. I had a date with a guy a little while ago and we sat down and I was like, oh yeah, I did this the other day. He said, yeah, yeah, because I saw on your Instagram, you posted that. But then you liked this person's picture. Do you like that? Because I follow them now because you did that. But did you like this?
God.
I'm a big fan of that person.
It's
What's he like? And I'm like,
well, it's a bit like,
I gotta go.
It's a bit like Kathy Bates in Misery.
And after he messaged
me,
he said, oh, that was really good. Let's do it again. I'm like, it's good for you.
Yeah.
I was fucking...
You just got information.
Yeah. Can you not be a bit cooler? I'm like, fucking hell. But is what it is, you know? I mean, you're married and you've got kids and that's wonderful, but if you were single...
Do you want to get married and have kids?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 1,000,000%. I want all of that. I want my guy. I want a person that is like my mate and we're a team and we go forward and we have a fucking brilliant life. That's what I want.
Okay, so I feel like I know you a little bit now.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're a foodie, you're appreciator, and you're appreciative and a lover of food and eating out, but you wouldn't necessarily call yourself a cook.
Not at all.
And
I wish I had that instinct. I don't have that instinct.
It's
my
mum's
upset. She was like, I thought you'd be like a really good cook because you're very creative. And I said, no, I just don't have that persuasion in the kitchen. I hope it will come later in life. You discover it and go, oh, I can do this. So these are my dishes, but I love a dinner party. Love a dinner party. When someone's like, come over for dinner, like this tonight, when you said this to the podcast, I was 100%, this is the dream.
So, okay, so you enjoy... Okay, I can see you enjoy food. I saw you definitely wolfed that chocolate
everything.
Mousse down in
and the
about
steak
a second.
And the broccoli and it,
your
yeah.
mother would not be happy. Oh, no, would your mother... She'd be proud.
Oh, she'd be like, eat up. But, yeah, she'd
be
very
proud.
I love
an
eater.
Be quick?
Yeah.
No, it was like,
you
don't talk
up.
About it. Don't ask me what it is because I'm
just
not going to explain. Just eat
I love
it.
Her.
Yeah.
So what,
ruthless.
What would be your mum doesn't want to call it Last Supper? Last Supper.
Right, a roast dinner always. My nan's roast dinner, who's in heaven, but my nan's roast dinner was like heaven.
What
it was,
made it so wonderful?
Well, it was my nan, but she had like. It's everything it was served on, the plates, the knives and forks. It had like a whole nostalgia thing. It was just my nan's house, my nan's cooking, the gravy.
Which meat though? Chicken, lamb.
She'd have a chicken on the bone.
Yeah.
It would just be like, and the roast potatoes were next level, like the best roast potatoes you've ever had. Carrots, cabbage, some mashed swede.
I love mashed
parsnips, honey roasted parsnips. But she would just make, and when I was at college, my nan lived two doors away. So I used to basically get a roast dinner every lunchtime.
Oh, because she'd make it, because she knew you
yeah.
loved it so much.
And I'd have
much.
Jelly and I'd have cream. I mean, I wasn't completely overweight, but I'd have jelly and cream.
But I also
she'd serve
love
it in these like glass bowls, though. Yeah.
Oh,
when my
sweet.
Nan died, my dad said to me, what do you want from Nanny's house? I said, a salt and pepper. And I got these little like salt and pepper things you'd get from like Woolworths or something, and I've still got them.
Oh, sweet. So you went straight to Maine, so you wouldn't have a starter?
I would have a start. I'm, you know, someone said to me once, like, soup and cereal was for pregnant people, which isn't a reference to where you are now, but they were like, he was like, I would never order soup or cereal because that's what pregnant people eat, or if you're in hospital. I'm like, right. But
interesting.
I used to live on breakfast cereal when I was a kid.
Alex has breakfast cereal after his dinner.
Yeah, I'd have it all the time.
Yeah, he
What's
does
What's your
too?
Cereal that you like? Rocky's just
Special
joined
K.
us, by the way. That's not
not me. I'm just developing.
That's
some,
not Russell,
some
like, getting really
problem.
Excited about cereal.
Special K, I mean, is like... The
well,
best.
Oh, you're not joking.
You
sorry.
Like
yeah. You're talking
you
about
like
really?
Special K,
cinnamon
fruit and fibre.
Yeah.
That's a treat.
So you'd have cereal as a starter?
I don't eat cereal anymore because it's dangerous having it in because I would just eat that and not eat
yeah.
properly.
I make this granola whilst I'm pregnant and it's gone in a second.
Yeah, amazing. But I would always, if I did a starter, I love a prawn cocktail, retro.
Yeah.
Love a prawn cocktail with avocado in.
Mate, It's that little snuffle.
They're like a dinosaur. They're like dinosaurs, aren't they? Like
little baby rhinos.
Okay, so...
Yes, so it's, if I was in a restaurant and like...
No,
and
we you're were going like, retro- you're on death row, so...
Oh, I'm on death row.
Okay, no, I'm just I putting it out there.
Horrible. Oh, right, I like that. Okay. You think, what, this question's horrible, that if you're on death row?
I'm just like, entertaining.
All right, you're going on a desert island for a year.
And you have your last meal and all you can eat on the island is sand. I would have...
So, it's still prawn cocktail? Or cereal?
Yeah, but like really fat prawns.
Okay.
Proper fat prawns.
Right.
You know, not cereal, no. I wouldn't... No, I'd boycott
not
that.
Not wasting it.
No. And then my main would be like a roast. Like a proper roast.
Nan's roast.
Nan's roast. Cheesecake.
What kind?
American, simple. I don't need any...
The almost lemony one?
No, just the
A baked cheesecake.
Yeah. No, I don't want any fruit topping. I want a vanilla baked cheesecake, simple as possible, but really moist and fat as fuck.
Where do you get it from in New York?
From like delis.
They just have it there like cheesecake.
It's like a breeze block
so it's
of
not
cheesecake.
Like a place that you go
no.
for.
No, I don't. I mean, again, I try not to eat that as much. I mean, yeah. I love donuts, Krispy Kreme donuts. I would eat.
Oh really?
Microwave a Krispy Kreme, and it's like
microwave
30 seconds. What are you talking about?
Not heard of this.
Oh,
what filling?
Plain ring. I'm really basic.
Jam or
no.
Just the plain is the best.
A vanilla one, yeah. Simple.
I've never
like,
ever had Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme donut in a microwave, 30 seconds. Bosh. The most.
What happens to the frosting bit?
It goes a bit like hot.
Would you have like cream with that?
No. Look, I am vanilla. I am when it comes to stuff. I'm very vanilla. Keep it simple as a pimple, and that's where I'm happy.
I like this. I
right,
feel like everyone knows a little bit more about you now. You
but
like
they're
to
probably not
microwave.
A lot.
No, and then okay, last question. Do you think you have good table manners?
Yes.
And was that something you were brought up?
No, it's something I've learned. I mean, we're a very polite family, the Tovies. We're not barbarians, but when I go to a restaurant, the napkin I always lay in my lap. And I always work from the outside in like Pretty Woman.
Of course.
So that's what I tell my children. So that's like, yes, I think I eat like I put everything on the fork in the right way. I don't shovel it in. I do it like the other way where you prong it on.
Okay.
But, you know, as you get fancier in your career, you have to like go to fancier places. And you have to keep that up. But in some ways, it's quite nice to kind of play against that and just be like, I'm anti-establishment. I'm going to eat this however the fuck I want to eat it. Your hands. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. But
do you find something very? You know, you've been on a few dates recently.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like table manners in other people. What puts you off?
What puts me off is someone else. What they're eating and stuff.
Or just how they're eating.
When people eat with it, talk with their mouth full. That's the basic one. But I don't have a major issue with that unless I don't fancy them. I think if you don't find someone attractive, the littlest thing will piss you off or make you feel
right.
like, okay, this is never going to work. If you really find someone attractive, if they start talking with their mouth full, it can be really sexy. Do you know what I mean? To begin with, but then you start dating them, and 6 months later, it's like, stop talking with your mouth full. It's disgusting. But for the first 6 months, it's charming, isn't it?
Oh my God.
If you fancy someone.
Thank you so much for being on Table Manners. I honestly could have you here for the whole evening.
Stay for the week, yeah.
And Rocky. Yeah. Oh, Rocky's going to sleep. Are you going to bed, Rocky?
Are you taking him out with you now?
Yeah, I've got to go meet a friend.
How did you get here? Did you come on in
tube.
You came on the tube.
He loves the tube.
Do you ever get Ubers?
Of course.
What's your rating?
Yeah, we need to know your rating. Come on.
It's terrifying, isn't it? Hang on, let's have a look.
Do you think you've got a good one?
Jess is a shit.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? What are you on? You're not below 4.5, are you?
Yeah.
You are?
And I think
I'm a
nice
girl. Do
you always
slam the door?
No, I don't think
if
I'm a big slammer.
You slam the door, they always like...
I didn't know that.
Right, let's go into my ratings. So what do I go into? Your trips or help settings, isn't it?
No, just go to your name, I think. Or
no, it's just on the left with the little lines.
I always give 5-star.
The little lines.
4.38.
Shit, Russell. You're crap.
Mate, it's because of the dog. It's because of the dog. Do you ask to have the dog in?
But you have to. I have to ring ahead all the time and be like,
nah,
I've got
mate,
a dog.
That's it. That
4.38?
I'm 4.46.
I've only been on one trip.
Russell.
I love that you were like, oh my God, are you below 4.5?
Oh, Jess, this is really embarrassing now. What are you on then?
4.46.
Ask me, Russell.
I've gone down,
ask
actually.
Me.
What are you on?
4.63.
Still?
What do you mean still?
When was the last time? Did you check it after
every
trip?
I get them about 12 times a day.
I feel like...
How am I 4.38?
Because you're shit.
No, Rocky's bringing you down.
No, he's well, not.
Worth. I don't care. Bring me down. Bring
Rocky,
me down on my Uber
you bring,
rating.
You're bringing
That's
him down.
That's terrible.
That what is a doing? Terrible.
I'm so fuck
Do you
them.
Give them tips?
Well, that's after you get out.
No,
do
I give
Do they rate
tips.
You after they've...
I don't know, but I always give a tip now.
Well, I always give 5-star, and I'm sorry, like...
I wouldn't ever give someone not 5-star, and I'm super bossy.
I skip that. I don't star anymore. It's all bullshit.
Maybe you need
I'm
well,
super bossy.
Obviously,
yeah.
It's not all bullshit.
Russell, you need to change
Because some people
tune.
Don't pick you up if you're under a certain rating, do they?
Yeah, mate, that's maybe why you're having to get
Russell.
The bus.
I'm really,
I wonder what happens.
I get
when you're
it. I'm like, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? Really good, thank you.
And then,
and then
Rocky
does
snorts.
And I'm always like, is that you?
Thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
A
thank
man.
You, thank
and
darling.
And good luck with the podcast. It's called Talk Art.
Talk Art.
Mum, that was a fabulous dinner.
One of... Oh, was it, darling?
It was a fabulous dinner, fabulous guest.
He was great.
I am definitely going to... I've got his number now, so I'm going to annoy him and be like, hi, can we go to...
Jesse, I could have had him here for the weekend.
I know.
It's quite nice having someone on a Friday night.
I mean, maybe not for him, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was for us.
It's lovely. We don't have a child to get up to in the morning,
no,
do we?
No.
He
was so interesting about his work, about his... I mean, he's just such a fantastically committed, successful actor. He was great.
And I think that people... Maybe they don't, but people forget how acclaimed and respected and also successful he is. Like, how much incredible theatre he's done on the West End, Broadway,
yeah.
Brilliant TV, like brilliant choices,
but he's an
TV.
Intelligent actor.
He's really intelligent actor, yeah. And I like the sound of his mum.
I do too.
Get it down, yeah.
But you're a bit like that, darling.
I mean, I've never seen somebody finish chocolate mousse as quickly as Russell.
Jesse,
I had to cook
extra meat.
No, I think that was me though.
Did he say
he liked medium meat. It was still alive, so...
Darling, that's how you cook anglais.
Well, I'm pregnant, so I'm not supposed to have it like that.
Sorry, darling, it's got iron in it. You'll be all
but
right.
It was delicious meat.
What about the celeriac?
Just, mum, it was a meal that worked. You had the salt, the fat, the acid. You didn't have the heat, but that's okay.
It was delicious.
But yeah.
And I think Rocky enjoyed it.
Rocky really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Rocky, I think, had the most out of everything.
He had the most meat because I was trying to keep him from tip-tapping.
Bless him. His little rhinoceros toenails were tip-tapping. So we hope that was okay for you. But we'll forgive Russell and Rocky for everything because they are...
Yeah, they're a pair.
They're a pair. Bonnie and Clyde. And and thank you, Russell, for being such a wonderful guest.
He's inspiring about art because he's so passionate and committed.
Yeah, and I think it's really exciting that he's doing this podcast. Talk Art,
great.
Oh, sorry, I'm tired.
Glad keeping you up, darling.
I'm tired.
Night, darling.
Night. The music you've listened to on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser, and Table Manners is edited by
the wonderful Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.